Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Today, Dr. Kinlow is concluding a message titled, John the Baptist's Last Words Concerning Jesus. Let's listen and learn.
And so Jesus was both God and man. As a man, he was filled with the Spirit of God without measure, yet he was God eternally. Amen. Now, do you understand all that, Pastor Kinlow? No, amen. But I know what this text says. You see, in his divine nature, Jesus was God from very God, eternally one with the Father, equally sharing every attribute of God with his Father. But as a sinless human being, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was filled without measure. Now, we're in deep water. But this is another reason why Jesus bears the title of the only begotten of the Father. Remember the phrase only begotten in John 3:16. It's a Greek word, monogenes. It means that he was the only one of his kind. He was the one and only one. He was the unique Son of God. He was the only one of his kind. He was the only one of his race. Why? Both God and man. And as a man, he was filled with the Spirit without measure. Now, Jesus is the only one of his kind because as a sinless man, he was filled with the Spirit without measure. I know I'm being repetitive, but I'm trying to get to something. But he also eternally existed as God, one with his Father, equally sharing every attribute of God. Now, there's never been anyone else like this on this earth. Amen. There's no one else like this right now, and there'll never be anyone like this in the future. Jesus, as a man, was indwelt with the Holy Spirit without measure, without limitation. In contrast, those who have been saved and indwelt by the Spirit today, they are not indwelt in the same sense as Jesus. For in a sense, we are limited in how we are filled with the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit who indwells us is infinite and limitless. But he fills us in a way unlike Jesus. You see, let me give an example. No saved person has ever possessed every gift of the Spirit. But because Jesus was indwelt without measure, he had all of it. Every gift of the Spirit, he had it all. That's why he could do it all. None of us perfectly manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives at all times. And to be honest, some of you need to manifest much more often. Galatians 5:2, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. We don't even get past the first one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first one. We're still working on it. Because our love is a funny love. It's a what have you done for me lately love. It's a love like, yeah, I'll love you if you cook my dinner right. Burn the bread, another story. I'll love you, but you got to let me move on. You got to give me free reign with the credit card. I'll love you. I'll love you as long as you make me the meatloaf, mashed potatoes, green beans, and the apple pie. Then we're in love. I love you as long as you're having sex with me. Oh, I'm talking about married folks now. I love you as long as the loving is right. See, that's. See, we're talking about an agape love, a selfless love, a love based upon the individual alone. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He manifested that all the time. There was never a time he didn't. There was never a time Jesus did not love. Never a time he didn't have joy with his Father. Never a time he lacked peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. He wasn't like us. See, he was filled without measure. In contrast, because Jesus was endured by the Spirit of God without measure, he always perfectly manifested all the fruit of the Spirit in his life at all times. Not one time in Jesus' entire sojourn on this earth did he ever suffer an episode of the flesh like we do. And we will until we are in the conscious presence of Jesus in the realm or dimension where the local presence of God is. See, this is another reason why Jesus must increase and everybody else, including the greatest man born of women, John, must decrease. This is especially true of all who really think they are something in the kingdom of God today. They must decrease while Jesus increases. Because unlike any other human being, he was filled without measure. And therefore, as far as the Holy Spirit working through him during his days on the earth when his glory was veiled, there was no limit. He was the only man whose will was in perfect sync with the will of the Spirit. Amen. His will was perfectly in tune with the will of the Spirit. Why? Because they shared one and the same will. Now, that's not us. At least it's not me. My will is not always lined up with the Holy Spirit's will. Last night I was working on that. I wrote it down. I was working on this, just fine-tuning some stuff. I looked at the clock. It was 9:38 p.m. Now, see, we're talking about our wills being lined up with the Spirit. Here I am working on a sermon and at the same time wondering, have I really been called to preach? Working on a sermon at the same time saying, man, I really should have did something else with my life. Now see, y'all looking at me funny. But just like me, at times, you know your will is thinking something other than God's will. Amen. Now, I know at the end of the day, I've been called to preach, and that's what I've been called to do, and that's what I'm going to do. I know that, but I'm saying I don't always feel that way. Amen. Jesus didn't have those problems. Amen. None of us is like this, perfectly lined up with the Spirit. I know I'm not. I can preach and teach the word of God, and I can do some things which are part of the spiritual gift of being a pastor teacher, but there are many things I cannot do well in the kingdom of God or in the local church. As a result, there are many things I do not need to try to do at all at the Word of God Community Church because I'll mess it up. Understand that. You know, y'all be calling me, Pastor, what time is that? I don't know. Pastor, what time is that fella? I don't know. Call him, yeah, what food? I don't know. Better call so-and-so. What time he's supposed to be there? I don't know. How did we get there? I have no idea. GPS it. Because I don't have every gift of the Spirit. I don't have any business trying to do it all because I cannot do it all. I've been called to preach and teach and minister primarily this word of God to you. Now, I think sometimes I do it pretty well. I hope I do. Amen. See, I don't have every gift. Jesus did. There's some stuff I need to stop trying to do. And there's some stuff I am doing. I need to stop it. Because there's some of you as gifts more suitable to get that done. But see, Jesus, he had it all. Amen. Even though many have too much hubris, that's pride to admit this, this is true of all believers. Jesus had no such limitation, for he was filled with the Spirit without measure. And this is why he must increase in all things and we must decrease in all things as we crucify the flesh, get a proper estimation of our limitations, our weaknesses, and yes, even those sins and weights which easily beset us, and humbly admit none of the business of the kingdom is about us. Therefore, Jesus must increase. It's all about Jesus. And as a result, we all need to put him out front while all of us bring up the rear, way in the rear. So far in the rear, none can see us as being anything spiritually significant in comparison to Jesus when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. He must increase. We need to decrease. We need to get in the rear, way in the rear. Yeah. And let's lift him up. Yes. For all the world to see. Amen? Amen. Verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Amen. Jesus must increase, and John the Baptist, the greatest man born of women, according to Jesus, must decrease because the Father had given all things into his hand. The verse says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. When Jesus said the Father had given all things into his hand, he is speaking of the fact that the Father gave him control over everything, gave him authority over everything to accomplish his plan and purpose. We can clearly see Jesus' hand exercise authority over all through the record given to us by the four gospel writers. Let me just give you a few examples. Jesus exercised power over sickness and death. Mark 1, 32 and 34, when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing him all who were ill, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases. He exercised power over the satanic or demonic realm. Mark 1, 32, 34, they began bringing to him those who were demon-possessed, and he cast out many demons, and he was not permitting them to speak because they knew who he was. Some of you don't get that. God don't need Satan to say anything about him. And so he already shut him up. That's why when the young slave girl was saying, these are men of the Most High God. They're preaching the gospel. Remember, Paul became so vexed. Remember? He cast the demon out of her. God doesn't want Satan saying anything about him. So Jesus, he wouldn't permit them to speak. Be quiet. I'll move on though. It showed that he had power over the demonic realm. When he spoke, they had to shut up. He exercised power over death. Matthew 9, 18, 23 to 26, while he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he didn't say praise him. Y'all missed it. When he saw the crowd in noisy disorder, he didn't say, let's at church. He said, y'all got to get up out of here. Amen. He said, leave. But the girl has not died, but is asleep. And the Bible says, and they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, Greek says he put him out. He entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout all the land. Jesus' power over death. It even included of his own death. John 2, 19 to 22, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. He even had power over his own death. Why? The Father gave all authority into his hand. He exercised power over the elements of nature. Matthew 21, 18 to 20. Now in the morning when he was returning to the city, he became hungry, seeing a lone fig tree by the road. And he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Most of us, well, we talk to plants, but it ain't doing nothing. Amen. You beautiful plant, you the plant crazy. If he could, or whatever it is. This human talking to us. We plants, we don't care. But Jesus spoke to a fig tree. He said, fig tree, no more fruit from you. And it withered up immediately. The text says, seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, how did the fig tree wither all at once? It's amazing they asked that question, but they knew why. He had just said, you're through, tree. And it withered. And they're asking, how did that happen? They're like us. He had power over the angelic realm. Matthew 26:53. He says to Pilate, do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. He revealed no human being had any control over him whatsoever. You know, John 19:11. So Pilate said to him, you do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? Jesus answered and said, you have no authority over me unless it have been given to you from above. And he didn't get none from above. Amen. So what Jesus is saying, look, Junior, you know what's happening to me. I'm permitting it. You don't have any power over me unless God gave it to you. And guess what? He didn't. So he let him know, you know, this is, it's not all about that. He was saying in a sense, I am submitting to this. Jesus revealed the Father had given him judgment over all. John 5:26-27, just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Jesus had authority over everything when he walked this earth. Now, many things he the kenosis of Christ, he limited his use of them. You know, there's much Jesus could have done, but the Bible says when it says he emptied himself in Philippians, it's kenosis, Greek. What it means is he chose not to exercise his prerogatives of deity. He chose not to exercise his power as God. But make no mistake about it, he had it. And at times he let people catch a glimpse of it. Make no mistake about it, nothing down here is holding me back. If I want to walk on the water, I'll walk. Amen. If I need to raise somebody, I'll speak a word and they'll get up. The Father had given him authority over all things. This can be said of no other human being, and that's why John can say he must increase but I must decrease. Why? The Father has given all authority into his hand. There's nobody like Jesus. During the time when the majority of the New Testament was written, there were two main Roman emperors, Caligula and Nero. And the term Caesar means all powerful one. Hail Caesar. And they thought there must be something divine about Caesar, because look how many nations he controls. Look how many people he has conquered. And they said there must be something divine about him. Caesar, the all-powerful one. Well, when all was said and done. And by the way, both of those men demanded worship as God. Both Caligula and Nero. I'm God. Really? When all was said and done, they had no power over anything. Caligula was assassinated by his own generals and members of the Senate. Nero was forced to commit suicide, and he even botched that up. Amen. He so botched up his own suicide, proving he didn't even have control over that, that a former slave had to help him thrust himself through with a sword. Then after both of them died, they stayed dead like everybody else. Amen. Just like Caligula and Nero, when all is said and done, we have no authority over anything. Jesus had authority over everything. We have no authority over anything. And that even includes what's taking place in our bodies, for eventually time, a.k.a. old age, gets all of us. No control over time. You can do all you want to stop something going down tonight. It's going down. Amen. I've been wishing this gray out of my hair. It's not working. Amen. Got ready to come to church this morning. You know, I'm getting to the point now. I'm saying, what's happening to me in my old age? I got to shave twice a day now. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning and said, "Woo!" And that's why I was kind of late. I had to go shave because I didn't want y'all to see all this gray coming out of my face. Amen. It's all gray. I'm wishing it's not, but it ain't helping. Why? I have no authority over even that. Even if I put some color in it, it ain't going to stay. Amen. I have no authority over anything, but he had authority over it all. All of us must concur with the Apostle Paul when it comes to even what's taking place in our own lives. And that is, even that we have no control over it. Romans 7, 15, 18 through 19, Paul says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my sinful nature and my flesh. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Say amen. That's all of us. "For what I do is not the good I want to do, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on..." That's all. What we have no control over it. Amen. If we dare be honest, an event that rarely occurs on Sunday morning because we get in here and fake it. We all have the same testimony as Paul. We may struggle in a different category, but it is there. There are just times in which the flesh wins and we lose. Why is it so? Because ultimately, we are not even in control over ourselves. Amen. That's why the Spirit has to empower you. None of us has control over a cold virus. None of us has control over the car coming towards us on the opposite lane when we're driving. None of us has control over the flock of geese that's flying when we're in a plane that might get sucked into the engine. None of us has control over the temperature outside. Unlike any of us, Jesus did not have any of these drawbacks, for the Father so loved him that he put all authority in his hand. He gave him control over all persons, all places, all events, both visible and invisible. That's another reason why he must increase and we must decrease. Amen. Amen. 36, and I'm almost done. "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." For the same reason why Jesus must increase and everybody else decreases is the same reason why those who trust in him have eternal life. Jesus is far above all, for he comes from heaven. Verse 31. He speaks and does things according to what he has personally seen and witnessed in heaven or from the Father. Verse 32. He speaks the words of God any other. For the words he speaks concerning the Father are also true of himself. Verse 34. In his human nature, he was filled with the Spirit without measure. We just studied that. Verse 34. He has authority over all, for the Father so loved him, he gave all things, all authority into his hand. Verse 35. See, when you put your trust in one such as this, amen, to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, save you from your sin, you have eternal life. See, John the Baptist trying to show you, you can't lose with him. There's nobody else like him. He's from heaven. Can only do what God can do. Speaks the words of God unlike anybody else. Spirit without measure. All authority is in his hands. When you trust in him, you have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
But then the rest of the verse. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The same reason why Jesus must increase and everybody else must decrease is the same reason why those who do not obey him will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on them. The wrath of God spoken of in verse 36, it is not a sudden burst of anger, but it is God's eternal displeasure and hatred of man's unbelief in his only begotten Son. It is God's eternal displeasure with all who reject his Son. See, when you reject such a one as Jesus to redeem you from your sin, there is no other option but the wrath of God forever. The word abides there. The wrath of God abides. It's a present in the Greek language, which means it is something that never ends. It is perpetual. The wrath of God that abides. When you reject one such as Jesus, the only option is the wrath of God. You see, beloved, when you reject Jesus, the one who is above all, for he comes from heaven, when you reject the one who speaks and acts from his firsthand knowledge with and from the Father, when you reject the one whose words are the word of God in a way distinct from all others, because what he says about God is also true of himself. Amen. When you reject the one who is indwelt with the Spirit without measure, and when you reject the one who the Father has put all authority in his hands, when you reject him, this puts you under the umbrella of the eternal displeasure and anger of God for rejecting one such as worthy as Jesus. When one rejects the Son of God, described in these verses, the one who is far above all, speaks according to what he has seen and heard from the Father, speaks the words of God in a way nobody else can speak, is indwelt with the Spirit without measure, been given all authority from the Father. You see, when you reject him and substitute yourself as your redemption, it is the ultimate insult to God. And this is why you fall under the category of the eternal wrath of God. I don't think most understand that Jesus was and is God the Father's best. He was and is equal with the Father in every way. And when you reject Jesus, it is the ultimate insult to the Father. Because the Father says, I gave you the best. We emptied heaven for you. And when you say no to him, ultimate insult to God. There was no other option but for you to abide forever under the wrath and displeasure of God. You see, when you reject Jesus, and I'm through. When you reject Jesus, it is the same as God the Father revealing himself to you, and you tell him, get lost or take a hike. It's the same. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, when you reject him, it's the same as telling the Father, get lost. If you are so rebellious that you tell God to get lost when he has done everything possible to redeem you from your sin, what else is left but to fall under the wrath of God? The wrath which abides forever. To reject Jesus is the same as rejecting the Father. Now, you know, some folks think, I can reject Jesus, but I still love God. You can't do it. See, we still think we're coming to God because of us. We still think that. We still think it's my willpower. I got it together. So when I get ready, I'm going to make a decision. But it ain't about you. None of it's about you. See, on your own willpower, if you reject Jesus, you do the same with the Father. Exact same thing. And the only choice left is the wrath of God abiding on you. Amen? Amen. See, this is why people don't understand. When you reject Jesus, there's no other way to be saved. Amen. Because you rejected God's best, which is God himself, incarnate in the man, Christ Jesus. Amen?
Thank you for joining us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. If you would like to know more about the ministry, visit wogcchurch.org. If you live in the area, join us on Sunday morning to hear sound expository Bible teaching. May the Lord richly bless you as you study His Word.